come good a year. So what does her stepfather do to prevent it? He takes the obvious course of keeping her at home and forbidding her to seek the company of people of her own age. But she becomes restive, insisted upon her rights, and finally announced her positive intention of going to a certain ball. What does her clever stepfather do then? He conceives an idea more creditable to his head than to his heart. With the connivance and assistance of his wife, he disguised himself, covered those keen eyes with tinted glasses, masked the face with a moustache and a pair of bushy whiskers, and sank that clear voice into an insinuating whisper.
Good Lord.
Doubly secure on account of the girl's short sight, thus he appears as Mr. Hosmer Angel and keeps off other lovers by making love himself.
I don't believe it. It's monstrous. It was only a joke at first. We never thought she would have been so carried away.
Very likely not. However that may be, the young lady was very decidedly carried away. You may remember, Watson, she really did believe her stepfather was in France, so the suspicion of treachery never for an instant entered her mind.
Yes, of course.
So she was flattered by the gentleman's attentions, and the effect was increased by the loudly expressed admiration of her mother. Then Mr. Angel began to call. But it was obvious that the matter should be pushed as far as it would go if a real effect were to be produced. There were meetings and an engagement which would finally secure the girl's affections from turning towards anyone else. But the deception could not be kept up forever. Those pretended journeys to France were rather cumbrous. The thing to do was clearly to bring the business to an end in such a dramatic manner that it would leave a permanent impression on the young lady's mind and prevent her from looking upon any other suitor for some time to come.
Which was why he made her swear that vow of fidelity on the testament.
Precisely. And why there were also allusions to the possibility of something happening on the very morning of the wedding. James Windybank wished Miss Sutherland to be so bound to Hosmer Angel and so uncertain as to his fate that for 10 years to come she would not listen to another man. As far as the church door he brought her, and then, as he could go no further, he conveniently vanished away by the old trick of stepping in at one door of a four-wheeler and out at the other. I think that was the chain of events, Mr. Windybank.
It may be so, or it may not. But if you are so very sharp, you ought to be sharp enough to know it is you who are breaking the law now, not me. I have done nothing actionable from the first. But as long as you keep that door locked, you lay yourself open to an action for assault and illegal constraint.
Then we must not allow that to happen. There. As you say, the law cannot touch you. Yet there was never a man who deserved punishment more.
Move away from that
door. If that young lady has a brother or a friend, he ought to lay her whip across your shoulders.
You lay one finger on me, I'll have the law on you.
By Jove, it's not part of my duties to my client, but here's a hunting crop handy. I think I shall just treat myself to bring you down, you fat tumbler, scoundrel. Tell her, run, Windybank, run, you grub. A cold-blooded scoundrel, if ever I saw one.
There it goes. Running down the road as if all hell had been let loose.
I'll tell you, Watson, that fellow will rise from crime to crime until he does something very bad and ends on the gallows.
Yeah, no more than he deserves.
I regret that he necessarily remains unpunished in this particular instance. Still, in some respects, the case has not been totally devoid of interest.
Even now, I cannot entirely see all the steps of your reasoning.
Well, then, let me enlighten you. It was obvious from the first that this Mr. Hosmer Angel must have some strong object for his curious conduct. And it was equally clear that the only man who profited by the incident, as far as we could see, was the stepfather.
Yes, I can see that, but what exactly set you on to him?
The fact that the two men were never together. One always appeared when the other was away. That was suggestive. So with a curious voice, tinted spectacles.
To say nothing of his bushy whiskers.
Exactly. And my suspicions were all confirmed by his peculiar action in typewriting his signature, which of course inferred that his handwriting was so familiar to Miss Sutherland that she would recognize even the smallest sample of it. So you see, all these isolated facts together with many minor ones, all pointed in the same direction.
Yes, I see.